If you would like to open your Bibles to Genesis, we're going to start at the beginning. It's going to be a long day. We're going to work our way down to Revelation. I get some more water because I'm going to be here a while. I'm just halfway joking. This week, we've been Chandra and I were talking about our home, and we really don't like calling it the parsonage because it's our home. And we were talking about the things that we like to do. You know, everybody has things that they have their own style, don't they? You walk into someone else's homes, and hopefully all the homes are different, and they have their own flair. They have the things, the way they decorate them. They do it to try to make it feel more like home, don't they? And Tyler has a thing about homes. He thinks that you can just go out and build a new home without any problems. If you don't have money, you can just go to the store and buy some money so that you can build a home. So we've been dealing with that with him. He wants us to build a home for his Pop and Mimo. He thinks since we've got all this land out here that we should just build them a home and they can move out next to us. The question this morning is, where is your home? What is your home? Where is your home? And I want to look at a man in the Bible who I feel is very, what can I say? He's very underplayed. He doesn't get enough, I don't want to say praise, but you know, we talk about Moses and we talk about David, but there's a man in the Bible who lived a life of worship to God and knew where his home was. And his name was Abram, later to be renamed Abraham. And so we're going to look at Abram today in Genesis. And let's just, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Let's learn a little bit about this man, Abram, who I think is just such a great example. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people who had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When he arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up a camp beside the Oak of Moreh. At the time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your descendants." And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord, who had appeared to him. After that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord. Then Abram continued by traveling south by stages toward the Negev. Okay, we learned a lot about Abram right here. First off, we know that he's 75 years old. You don't have to raise your hand. Is anybody out there around 75? Sure, they said no. Okay, all of you who are 55 going on 75, what do we know about this man? We know that he's kind of an older gentleman. And God says, leave your family, leave that land that's inherited you by your family, by your father-in-law. So leave your inheritance, leave your land, move your whole household and everything that you own, and go to a place that you don't know about, and that there's no other, you know, you're going to be a foreigner in this land. They're all Canaanites, and live there. And what does it say Abraham does? It just says that he goes. Now, there's a lot of stories in the Bible where God tells people to do things, not even as hard as this, and isn't there always at least a question? Are you sure? Why me? How's this going to work? I mean, even with the story of Jesus, when we talked about John, how the Father, he questioned, even though he believed. And so he couldn't speak for a long time. So it seems like there's always a question. But this man, who's 75 years old, he's not a spring chicken. He's revered as old. And he's moving everything. He's not moving to a retirement community in Florida. This man lives in a tent. He's going to take his household and live in tents and go to this land. And he doesn't even say a thing to God. It just says that he does it. Oh, I'm thinking, wow, what a guy, huh? What a man. And it also says here, back in verse 7 and then in verse 8, it says wherever he went. It doesn't say wherever he went, but it says the first place he stopped, what does he do? He pitches his tent, and then he builds an altar and dedicates it to the Lord and worships. And if he moves again, pitches his tent, builds another altar, and worships the Lord. So already we can see this must be a pretty godly man, huh? God asked him to do the hardest thing that he's ever had to do so far, and he doesn't even question. He just does it. Moves his whole household, and his whole household trusts him. And they all go off to this land. It usually, you know, even when Moses brought the people back, the people were like, we're not going over there. I'm staying here. I don't know that. Those people are big. It doesn't say anything about his household doing that. So this godly man, his influence has trickled throughout his household, and they trust him. And we'll see more of that later. Already, I'm pretty impressed. I don't know about you guys, but I think we should be talking more about this guy. In just 8 simple verses, we already know what Abram values above all else, and I just said it, and it's God. Now, we're going to go through these next chapters, and I'm going to kind of skip around to some next chapters, and I'm going to encourage you to go back and read this for next week, because we're going to get into some of these things that we missed today. So go back next week and start with chapter 11, and then read all the way through to where it stops talking in the Bible, and you can be done, so... But go through the story of Abraham, and then we'll go through the rest of it next week. So let's go to chapter 17. Verses 1 through 8. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this time, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram, which means esteemed father. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. And that's what Abraham means, the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. Now, how much time has gone by here? 75, when God tells him to move. He's 99. That's 24 years. That's a long time for a guy to move into this wilderness, this foreign place, and not have a son yet that God has promised him. Did we not mention that Abraham is 75 and he doesn't have a son? And now he's 99 and he still doesn't have a son? 24 years after God told him that he was going to give him generations, generations, and generations, but how's that supposed to happen without a son? I don't know about you guys, but I remember reading that when Moses went up on the mountain, he was gone for how long? Not 24 years. Came down in a month, and the people had already made a golden calf and they're worshiping idols already. What a guy, huh? And yet he's still instilling all of this godliness in his whole family. Okay, so I'm impressed. I hope you guys are impressed. God makes a new covenant with Abram. Says, I will make you the father of a multitude of nations, and he's to have the entire land of Canaan for the generations of his family. Let's go on to chapter 22. Now, that was just to give us an idea of how much time has gone by and Abram's faithfulness in that time. Now, chapter 21, just a quick overview. The birth of Isaac, God promises to Sarah that she is going to have a baby through with Abraham, and then that's the son that he has promised. So finally, they get to have a son. Let's go on to chapter 22. They have a son. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Are you serious? Has the man's faith not been tested already? How many of you at 75 years old would move into a place where you're going to be completely out of place, you're going to be a foreigner, you got to move your whole household, your whole family, you live in a tent, This man has already exhibited a ton of faith, and he doesn't even talk back. You know, somewhere along there, I'd be really tempted to say, are you sure you got the right guy for this job? So sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac, whom you love so much. So God answers this question right there. My only son? Yes, your only son. Abraham doesn't even have to ask. Take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac. So he confirms it three times. Take your son, take your only son. Yes, Isaac. I guess that's confirming it twice, but he tells him three times, and go to the land of Moriah, go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. 75 years old when he moves, 24 years later, he's told he's going to have a son. Sometime later, they've had the son, who I'm sure Abraham is very attached to, has grown to a boy. God has promised him generations and generations, and now he tells him to go and sacrifice his son, and I'd be thinking, man, God, you're taking your sweet time getting me these generations, because now you're taking the son through whom we're going to have generations and generations. And what does Abram do? What does Abraham do? The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Didn't even question it. This man knows his God. Then he chopped some wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. So you see his faith right there. He tells his servants, we will be back. Even though he knows he's supposed to go sacrifice his son. He says, we will be back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Now this is where we see what type of a father Abraham is. This is where we see what Isaac thinks of his dad. And this is where we see the example that Abraham has made by building his altar wherever he lives. Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? Now Isaac knows what an altar and what a sacrifice consists of because he's seen his dad do it his whole life and he's not very old. Another testament to his godly leadership in his family, in raising his son and his faith to God. Abraham says, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He tied up his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now Abraham is more than 100 years old at this point, and his boy, even if he was 4 years old, if he wanted to get away from an over 100-year-old man, you think the boy could get away? I have a hard time hanging on to my 4-year-old son when he wants to get away. Isaac could run away if he wanted to. And he knows what an altar consists of, so he knows that when dad is tying him up, this isn't a game. He's going to go on the altar. Isaac should be freaking out right here. But he knows his dad. Apparently, he trusts his dad. And he lets him lay him up on the altar. Then Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son. I know another guy who gave up his only son. His only son for us. I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants all the nations of earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Then they returned to the servants and traveled back to Beersheba, where Abraham continued to live. You want to know what it looks like to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? You can find it in here. You can find it in Abraham. You can find it in one of the first stories in the Bible about how God used Abraham and how Abraham trusted in him through all those things. Do you think that was hard for Abraham? Abraham is an example of a life completely lived in worship to God. Yes, he's still human, he still sins, but he's lived his life in worship to God. He trusted God. And it shows that because he was willing to give God everything, even the one and only son that God promised him, the only way that God was going to give him generations and generations. Abraham trusted God. Basically, he knew that his home was not on earth but in heaven. Remember how he said that he pitched a tent? Abraham never built a home. He always pitched a tent, as a foreigner does. He pitched a tent and he built an altar in front of every tent he pitched. Today, doesn't it seem more like we build our homes and pitch our altars? Where is your home? If Abraham had not been at home in God, he would have never been the father of many nations. He wouldn't have had a son with Sarah. He wouldn't have been the godly father, and he wouldn't have left this legacy for us to look at and to follow and to be encouraged by. Let's go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. It's the scripture that's in the bulletin. There's another man in the Bible who gives his life to God, and that's Paul. And the way that Abraham lives, Paul has a way of just confining it into these 8 verses right here. Sums up what must have been in Abraham's heart to be able to be at home with the Lord. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body. We will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies, and we will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and we sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies, so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Paul says, where is your home? Your home is with the Lord. What are we here? Is this supposed to be our home? We're visitors. We're visiting in these earthly bodies, our aches and pains. Last week, when I went home, it was after we had lunch, I got a call from Anthony Neusman, and it was a very shocking call, as many of you were shocked too, when he told me that Dean Lambden had passed away. I thought, my goodness, what a young man to pass away and leave a family with 2 young girls. And my heart mourned for Amy and their daughters, and it mourned for people like Anthony, who were very close to Dean, and all of those that are affected. But you know what? Dean lived here as a foreigner, and he had Jesus Christ in his heart. He knew where his home was. And the thing that I love about this is you remember, Dean had those pains, those migraines, and the back pain. And any of you who have pains in your earthly bodies here, just know this is not your home. This body's not your home. And Dean knew where his home was, and that's where he's going. He's going home. No more pains, no more aches. Remember where your home is. Your home is not here. We are not guaranteed time here because this is not our home. We are guaranteed our eternity by Jesus Christ in our heart. We are not guaranteed time in a foreign land, such as this. As you go this week, I really want you guys to think about that. Think about the homes that we made here. What are you attached to? What's your home? If you need some encouragement, you can find it in here. I want you all to read the story of Abraham. We skipped through some chapters. I want you to read the whole thing. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about Abraham some more next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is a very hard thing as humans to be here for this time that seems like such a long time to us and not get attached. And to not build up our homes and treat this like where we're gonna be forever. Heavenly Father, we know that you have not guaranteed us time here on this earth, and that the reason is this is not our home. And that you have a better home for us where we won't have the aches, we won't have the pains, we won't have the sin. We want to be with you, Father God. Help us to live as foreigners. Help us live as aliens in this land, Father God. To not be attached to the world. But to seek you, build our faith in you, and build our faith in our families. That when we go home, that means we're with you. Amen.